We thank you, Lord, for revelation. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for this great message, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, to know that you have a bride that's in you. Lord, that you are in, manifesting the promise of the age. Lord, we just ask that you would take the furtherance of the service, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Give us words to speak, Lord. Let us lay aside our own thoughts, our own emotions and desires and everything, Lord. Let it just be the Spirit moving each one, Lord. As we just commit this to you, all things, bless those that are not able to be here. Strengthen them, guide them. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. We're glad to be here. And we just thank God for the opportunity. And I want to say also, we really appreciate Sister Emily taking the piano this morning. She's very gifted, sister. You have a real gift. And I always love the piano. And I guess I'd consider it my favorite instrument. If I could play one, that would be the one, because it just is so much there. And it's a real, I think it's a real blessing. But not only is Sister Emily talented on the piano, but she's also a very talented singer. And but we have many good singers, and we thank God for that. And we have some, or at least one, who can't sing at all. but we thank God, and we just, that's the one thing. It's so encouraging to me, being on the mission field, because it really, they get away from that. They get away from that concern of what you sound like, what you this. They got one purpose, and that they're going to worship God. And that's what it should be. It shouldn't be about how I feel or, you know, what somebody's going to think or anything else. It should just be one thing. This is to God.
Yes, sir.
I'm worshiping Him. I'm singing to Him. And so that's what we want.
Amen.
And when we get in that, and we everyone pull into that,
yes,
then we can really feel the presence of God.
Amen.
And so I thank God. And I say this so many times, but and I feel bad because I've heard other preachers do this, and I do it, and I always think to them they should stop doing it, and yet I keep doing it, and I just feel bad about saying anything, because I with the comments I made at the end of the service the other day is I'm not telling anybody where to sit. Okay, you set wherever you want to set. But what I'm saying is, and what I've done many times is when we're just two or three, then I'm in the study, and I'll come in here and stand and sing, because I know how hard it is when you just have one or two people and you're singing, and it helps everybody. It's a blessing to everybody if we're together. And my opinion is it's a blessing to each one, you know, if you sit back there, I don't think you get the blessing that you would get here more in the presence. And I know God, sometimes there's a reason. Sometimes you need to maybe sit back there, whatever. But I'm not telling anybody where to sit. So, my desire is, I think it's a benefit for all of us to come.
Amen.
And so I appreciate you so much. Now, I want to get right into the message. I'm continuing this in God and Morphid, this part three, and there's so much involved in this, and so I didn't get near as far as I thought I was going to get this morning. I thought I was going to get on down, but we're going to just take it as it comes. And so I'm going to start in the message, Sirs, We Would See Jesus, and this is in paragraph 79. And so Brother Branham he's talking about these thoughts. He's talking about these attributes. He's talking about God and Morphid changing himself, changing his mask. Same person all the time, just changing his mask.
Amen.
Now we find out that later that Jesus had never showed any sign yet. See, and one day, Simon came up into his presence. Just a little skeptic, perhaps, of Andrew's testimony, because he had heard all this about this wild man, you know, drowning people down there on the river and with baptisms and so forth. And he couldn't go for that, because there had been all kinds of stuff passed through Palestine at that time. And, of course, that was a new thing. There was never, I can't find anywhere where anybody was taken out and they were dipped in the water and baptized. And so that type hadn't been explained to him yet, that it was there. And so they hadn't seen it as a death, burial, and resurrection. They hadn't got that. All they seen was a guy was dunking the people in the water, and this was supposed to be some spiritual something, and they couldn't make no sense of it. See? But one day, Simon came into the presence of the Lord Jesus. Now, things change when you come into the presence. And this is the second time he said it. He came into the presence of the Lord Jesus. Now, let's watch what he was yesterday to the elected seed. That Simon that was ordained to this place. See, that seed. And this is the reason why Simon is going to recognize is because there's a seed on the inside. That's the reason why the woman at the well recognized it, because there was a seed on the inside. There was something that God put there so that it could be recognized. And so it is like a radar. You look at the technology today. He talked about the natural types, the spiritual. And I thought many times how amazing it is what they have in the aviation and the, I don't know how many tens of thousands of planes might be in the air at one time around the world. But there's a tracking system that can track them, every one. And when a plane is coming, he sends out a signal, and that radar measures the distance exactly. If he's 100 miles or he's 500 miles, whatever he is, and he puts in that control tower, puts him in a slot. And he puts him in a slot to his exact minute, to the exact minute that he's going to be landing. And so he changes that pilot's, his speed, his altitude, he changes everything. And he tells him exactly what speed to be at, and so that he slips into his minute. And I can remember maybe 30 years ago, 40 years ago, they said that Chicago O'Hare, that every 60 seconds, a plane was going off, coming in, going off, coming in. And I know they have more than one runway, but that's how precise it is. That's how precise it is. That plane hits down, the time he hits the bottom and turns, the end and turns, there's another plane, another plane, another plane. It's a precision. It's a very precision. And so God has the same thing in the spiritual. Right. Has the same thing. He has all of his seed that he put into the earth, into the world, scattered around the world. Amen. And he fits them right into a time slot, right into a place where he's going to bring them into his presence, into the presence of the Word, into the presence of his Spirit. And he's going to reveal something to them that they need to know for that day and for that age. And that's every one of us. It's whatever time that we're living in, that's what he's going to reveal in that day. He's not going to bring something else. He's not going to do something else. None of that is a concern to God. What is concerning to God is what he is planning to express in that day. Amen. So it wouldn't matter how much revelation is out there, how much has been revealed yet, how much of the Spirit has been poured out. None of those things matter. In God's sight, the thing that matters is what I had planned for this moment in time. Yes, this exact moment, this is what I want you to do. Amen. And Brother Branham said, that's the problem with people. People are praising him for what he did back there, what he's going to do in the future, and they're failing to recognize what he's doing right now. Yes, and so that very thing. And Brother Andrew talked about people want to go back and live in another age. He said they want to go back and they want to be in the cowboy days. You see them. He said you go out west and he said every year they have a cowboy days and everybody's dressed up like a cowboy and the things that they do. And he said, what is it? He said they're trying to live in another age. They're trying to live in another time. I think they have it right over here. I wanted to go and see it, but I never have. And that's, I think they call it the Yes. Yeah. And I think the people, they dress up, don't they, like that day? I heard it's really pretty cool, pretty neat, the things that they do. And some of that, you know, I don't have anything against that. But you'll find sometimes, you know, you're bringing a memory back. That's okay. But when people are trying to live in that and reproduce that,
yes,
when it's over,
yes,
we're living in another time. We're living in another age. It's just like when they come out with the cars, there was people that were real, genuine believers. That was the world. That was the devil. We're not going to drive cars. We're not going to do these things. They don't want none of that modernization. That was the devil. You watch people who did it with the phones. And people even still, they have it so much. That's okay. And you take it even with the social media, with say Facebook, some of those things. And I've said this at least 10 years ago. I said, and I don't like Facebook. I don't want Facebook. I don't have Facebook. Or actually, I had it for maybe a month. And my name is still out there, and I don't know how to get it off. And I tried several times. It's just dormant, but it's there. If I look it up, it's there. But I don't know how to get off. And so, but there's nothing posted there. There's nothing there. But, so I just don't like it. That's me. So, but I said there's coming a time that everybody will have it. And don't take that literally. I don't mean everybody will have it. They won't. Not everybody will have it. But what I seen was every business has it. And it's a tool. It's a tool. It's just like you wouldn't find any business now that doesn't have a telephone.
Right.
Would you? No, it's a tool.
Yes, sir.
It's a tool. You're not going to find any business owner now that doesn't have a vehicle, are you? No, it's a tool. It's a tool. And so even though all the devil that might come with it, all the perversion that comes with it, same thing with the television, it just got, Brother Adam said there was a spirit on it, said just the devil, and said if he had one, he'd shoot it.
Right.
And so I don't see no hope for that, but the thing is, these other things are business tools. And so what I've seen happening in some of them, and I think there's going to be better groups than Facebook because I think it's so perverted now till I don't know if there's any hope. But because of the communication with families, they can send pictures to each other every day. They can keep up with every day. You know, and you're always going to have the ridiculous. You're going to have the people, and I know there's a lot of it goes on, or at least I'm told that. I shouldn't say I know. Okay, they get in the car and they write on their Facebook, I'm going to the store to pick up some hot dog buns. And they go to the store and I'm walking down the aisle and man, the price is such and such and such and such. So who cares?
Right.
Who cares about your hot dog buns? Who cares? You know, what is this? What's the purpose of this?
Amen.
You know, and who's following that?
Right.
You know, do you have people following you to tell you're going to the store, you're going to buy some hot dog buns, you're going to do this or you're going to do that? To me, all of that's shallow. All of that is a distraction of the devil. If the people spent the time in the Word of God that they spend on TikTok and on Facebook,
right,
they would just be... they would have enormous wealth of maybe not revelation, but of spiritual word and understanding.
Amen.
That God could give them if they spent that time.
Yeah.
Say if they spent half of that time,
right,
in the Word of God than on the social media, all of that other stuff. Think about it.
Amen.
Think about what they could have. And I didn't have none of this planned to say. No, so I don't... But I know where it's coming from, because I know he's in control.
Amen.
And I know that he has his way. And I know that because he has a purpose for every single one of us every single day.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And we should approach every day just like that. We should approach every day when we get up and we go out. We say, well, I'm just going to work. I just don't feel like it. I just don't want. No, we should adjust that. We should adjust that. And we should come to this place and say, Lord, you had this day in your mind before the foundation of the world.
Yes,
you were going to do something. You were going to give me some blessing, or you were going to give me some trial, or you were going to give me some test, Something was going to happen, which you would consider good or bad or ugly, whatever, however you want to look at it. But when you get in Him, it don't matter which one it is.
Amen.
It don't matter which one it is, because you're going to thank Him. Because He is doing something that He wants to do.
That's
the revelation. And when you come to that place, that it don't matter if it's good or bad. And nobody wants the bad. Nobody wants the test. Nobody wants the trial. Nobody wants the troubles. Nobody. Nobody wants it. But when we come to that place to where we know that we're a tool. We're a tool that He's using. That this is what He's got to express what He wants to do. And then you come to that place. You know, they said, the Bible says that in the days of Solomon, that part of the marvel that people had when they came to Solomon is all of his people, all the servants, the people that they were nothing but servants, and they cleaned and they swept and they cooked. They sweated just like everybody else sweat. They worked over that fire all day long. They sweated, and at the end of the day, they were tired and they wore out. They said the marvel was that those people were so happy. Because they knew they were serving the greatest king that had ever been. They were serving a man that they knew that God had anointed and that God had appointed to be this man. And they knew that this great wisdom was not this man's, but that God gave this man this great wisdom for the people. And the people gathered around. Brother Branham said the people come around that gift. And said they come around that gift and they became a part of it. And they exalted the gift. And when we recognize that it's Christ in our midst and we're exalting that, and everything we do that happens is good or bad or indifferent, we're exalting Him and thanking Him and praising Him because we know that He's doing something. And you get around some people and every day's a bummer. You ever get around? Every day's a bummer. I got this. I got to do that. I got to go here. I got to go there. I don't feel like it. We got to get over our feelings.
Amen.
Yes, we just need to tell the flesh, get out of the way. God's going to do something today.
Amen.
God's got something for me to do today.
That's right.
And whatever it is, no matter how small it is, it's what God wanted before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
What we want to do is sit on the couch until God's got something big. Then we want to run out there, do some big thing, and come back and sit on the couch. That's not what God wants. God wants that little bitty thing every day, that consistency, consistency, consistency.
Amen.
Just go out there, say hello. Go out there, say praise God. Go out there and thank God for what He's doing. People are watching. You think they're not watching. They're watching.
Amen.
You can be sure they're watching.
Yep.
They see your life. They know there's something different about you. Let your testimony be real. Let it be true. Let it be right.
Yep.
Simon came into the presence of the Lord Jesus. And now watch. That was yesterday to that elected seed. That Simon, he was ordained to this place. That seed was. So were you elected to this predestinated place to manifest that seed, that life of Christ. See, in the beginning, paragraph 81, in the beginning, God was not even God. See, He was the great eternal, and in there was attributes. Attributes was His thought, see? And then He became a word, like this. And the word expressed, well, a thought expressed is a word. See, a word expressed is a thought, see? And then remember, if you ever was in God's thinking, you'll always be there. That's right. That's right. There is, you can't touch that. You can't touch that. If you were there of billions and billions of years ago, you're going to be there billions and billions of years later.
That's right.
You can't touch it.
Amen.
Satan can't touch it. Theology can't touch it. Intellect can't touch it. Nothing can touch it. Because God had you in His mind. He put a seed in there.
Yes, sir.
And Brother Branham said, just like you were in your great, 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 great grandfather, you were in Christ before the foundation of the world. And when He put all of those seeds out, when He spoke those seeds, waiting for them to manifest, waiting for them to come forth, you were there.
Yes,
You come out of him. You couldn't manifest anything else but him and him alone. Amen. Praise be to God. And so people can complicate a lot of things, but they can't touch that eternal life. Amen. They can't touch that because it has no beginning and no ending. So when you find somebody trying to mess with that, just tell them, say, no, it doesn't have a beginning. Right. It doesn't have an ending.
Amen.
No.
That's right. Yes, sir.
See, if you were ever in God's thinking, you'll always be there. If you got eternal life, you are the expression or the attribute of his thought for this age. I'd heard a preacher say one time that we take too lightly, and I thought this was well said, we take too lightly the fact that we were a thought in his mind. And people come with the attitude as, well, we were just a thought. That's good enough for me.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That's good enough for me.
Amen.
To be a thought.
Yes.
An eternal thought in the mind of God.
That's right.
That's the only thought that matters.
Yes.
All people get so caught up in all these other thoughts, but this is the thought that matters, because this one's an eternal thought, which is an eternal word, which comes to be expressed in flesh, which God created. You can talk about the beginning and the ending of this, but you can't talk about the beginning and ending of that, because it's eternal. It don't have a beginning. It don't have an ending. That's him. And that's you, if you were in his thoughts. If you were in his thoughts, that's you. There's no better place to be. There's no better place to be. I'm going to read it again, 82. If you remember, if you was in God's thinking, you'll always be there. If you got eternal life, you are the expression or the attribute of his thought for this age. See? There's only one eternal life, and it always existed. Huh? Not, it always existed.
Amen.
See? It pre-existed. That's right.
Amen.
It was pre-existing. Always. And I don't care if you put it in whatever form. You can just leave it there in the thought form. You can leave it in the attribute form. You can leave it in the seed form. You can leave it in the germ. Put it wherever you want to put it. I was there.
Amen.
I was there. And there was coming a time that there's nothing could keep it from being manifested in its day. Couldn't be in any other age. It had to be in this day.
Amen.
That's right. Everyone, God chose the time that that expression would come forth. See? See, that's the reason that he said he chose you. See? All right. Backing up another sentence there. I don't want to miss any. There's only one eternal life, and it was always existed. And you, in his mind, existed before there was a world. See? That's the reason he said he chose you. Before the foundation of the world. It isn't what we think. What somebody else thinks. It's what God eternal. You always was, see, in his thinking.
Amen.
Praise be to God. That's good enough. That's just good enough. Somebody come and say, no, you was only a thought. That's the only thought I want to be. That's the only one you need to be, is that one. That's right. How they can make light? How they can make light of that? You was just only a thought. That's okay. I'm satisfied.
Amen.
Amen. And that thought has no end. It don't have an end. It was his attribute, his thought, and it became expressed. Paragraph 83. It was in him to be a man. It was in him to be a man.
Amen.
Where was it in him? It was in his thoughts.
Yes, sir.
It was in his thought. It was in his attributes. He was going to be a man. God had that in his mind, and it always was there. He don't have a new thought. He don't have a new idea. He can't make a better idea. Nope, that was the perfect thought. He had it in his mind, and he said, I'm going to be a man.
Yep.
I'm going to be a man, and I'm going to have more men, and I'm going to have more women.
Yep.
And I'm going to have fellowship with them.
Amen.
And they're going to worship me, and I'm going to express myself in them.
Yes.
I'm going to take them over.
Yes.
I'm going to take them over, a certain part of them that have my seed in them that was in my thinking, them that was in my mind, those thoughts, them, I am going to put them through something called a new birth. And that new birth was going to kill that old nature, and then that eternal life was going to express itself.
Amen.
And that then they were going to have my nature in me. That's the nature that you have in you, is the nature of God.
Yes, sir.
See? That's right. See, now, that's the reason Christ was expressed, the expressed image. See? Why was Christ the expressed image? Because he was in God's thought.
Amen.
As a man, as a savior, as a healer, as everything God wanted to express there, that's what he was. That what he was in his mind, that's exactly what he manifested. He became the expressed image, see? See, now, and now he was to be father, he was to be son, he was to be savior, he was to be healer. Why? All of those were attributes of God. See, there was nothing, there wasn't even an angel or nothing, see, when those thoughts were back there in his mind. There wasn't anything, no atoms, no air, no earth, no nothing, see. And then he created the angels, then he become God, see. He was worshipped. Then, why? Because he had it in his mind. That's what he wanted. He wanted to be worshipped. He wanted to be God. He wanted those things, and he began to express his thoughts, see. Then these are the manifestations of his thinking. Now, there's nothing wrong. Everything's going to turn out all right. So when somebody thinks there's something wrong, just remember, there's nothing wrong.
That's right.
There's nothing wrong. God had it planned. God is serving his purpose. God is accomplishing his goal. God is expressing his thought. God is doing what he wanted to do. And when Satan thinks he's getting over on God, he's not getting over on God.
Right.
God is expressing his thoughts.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
He thought he got over on Jesus. He didn't do it. He thought he got over on Adam. He didn't do it.
Amen.
No. No, he didn't do it. God, nothing's wrong.
Right.
Oh, I like that. Everything is going to turn out all right. Don't be scared. God's big timepiece is ticking right along, see? It'll be there. It'll have a church without spot or wrinkle, see? It was in his thinking, see? The thing of it is, am I in there? That's the thing, that's the thing. Am I in there? Are you in there? See? That's what's important. But you can be sure that nothing is wrong. Nothing is wrong. So when Satan thought that everything was wrong when Adam fell, he thought he won. When Satan got Christ to Calvary, he thought he won. And it looked like, even to the elected seed, that God had lost. That there was a big mistake here. And it was not. Nothing was wrong. The word, the thought, was being expressed.
Yes, sir.
See? And look, it looked like to the carnal mind, it looked like to the theologians that it was wrong.
Amen.
It was not wrong. It was right in God's order, right in God's time. See? And here he was, the eternal thought expressed into sonship. Oh my, there was God, Emmanuel then, see? Notice then, he was the word. That's right. In 71, and remember, between the Son of God, in the Laodicean church age, they put him out. In Luke, he said he would be revealed again as Son of Man, the prophet, see? Fulfilling the rest of it, see? The scriptures tie perfectly together. That's right, he came as the Son of Man, then he came as the Son of God, then he promised a secret coming, and then he comes as the Son of Man again. See? Son of man, Son of God, Son of David. What was it? It's the same God all the time, just changing his form. See? Immorphic. He just changes it, see? It's a great drama to him. He's acting it out.
Yes, sir.
I love it. I love it. It's a great drama. I want to get in there. I want to do my part. I want to recognize every day it should be a great drama to us. That's why I say when people go around with their chin dragging on the ground, every day's a bummer. Every day's this problem, that problem, that. Push it aside.
Yes, sir.
Push it aside and recognize that God is acting out in you.
Yes,
He's doing something in you. He wants to express Himself. Amen. You say, well, I just sat home. I'm just a housewife. That's what He wants.
Amen.
That's what He wants.
Yep.
Let Him have it.
You're
there, you're spending your time in the Word, you're praying, you're spending time with Him, that's what He wants.
Amen.
You're on the job, that's what He wants.
Amen.
People are coming in, you're interacting, they don't hear anything but holiness. They don't hear anything but praising God. They don't hear you gossiping and rumoring and talking about this and that and the other thing. All they hear is God.
Amen.
And they recognize the presence of God. And they can see that you're dressed different, that you act different, that you talk different. They see that.
Amen.
Let God have His way.
Yes, sir.
You get in that place, where we're down and out all the time, is because there's a lack of revelation that God's doing something.
Yes.
See, He's manifesting His thought. He's proving His word. It might be a test. It might be this. It might be something else. But whatever it is, we welcome it. And I'll say it again. It doesn't mean that you want tests. It doesn't mean that you want problems. It doesn't mean that you enjoy them. You don't.
Amen.
But when you know that God is doing something to get glory and He's using you to do it, then that's good.
Amen.
That's a good thing. To think that you are being used by the living God.
Amen.
Everything Abraham went through wasn't pretty. Everything the prophets went through wasn't pretty. It wasn't all glory and honor and everybody envy you. No, they struggled. They went through a lot.
Yeah.
Tell me something. What was the prophet that laid on his side? How many days was it? Does anybody remember how many days that was? I always marveled at that. Now, how are you going to do that? You know, we're in flesh.
Yep.
We're in flesh. I mean, I don't know what all the details were, all of that, but I just can't imagine the toll that it took on the body. And when the body's toiling, then the mind's toiling.
Yep.
And you can just go through. You can just go through. I seen this thing the other day. I was talking, I think it was the disciples, how they died. And most of them, and I think every one of them but John, I think, is the only one who died a natural death.
Yeah.
All of the rest of them were killed somehow. They either were sawn asunder, they were crucified, some of them sideways, some of them upside down. One was skinned alive. Skinned alive. You can't imagine. And then we have so many problems today. So many problems. Listen, I know. I don't mean to try to make everything sound easy and everything is perfect. I don't mean to sound that way. But I can remember, Sister Emily, you remember. I can remember one time in Kenya, the sisters all lined up on the balcony there washing the clothes. Each one of them had a bucket. There was about four of you washing their clothes. You know how much time they spend washing their clothes? Wash it, wring it, wash it, wring it, rub it, like that. And I know it's still work to wash the clothes. Because I've heard many preachers say, I've even said it myself. You just go over there, you throw it in, you mash the button, it's all you do. I know it's work. I know it's work. I can get tired just driving. I drive so much sometimes, my back hurts. Everything can cause physical problems.
Yes.
Okay? Yes. So, but there's got to be something that overcomes that. There's got to be something, though, even though my back is hurting, even though my emotions are bothering me, even though everything else, there's got to be something deep down in there that says, praise God.
Amen.
I thank God. That I'm a son of God. I thank God for the day and the age that I live in. I thank God that I have a revelation.
Amen.
That He's here today and that He's living in me.
Amen.
Amen.
And you know, sometimes we think it's just getting too hard on us. Go read the life story.
Yeah.
Go read the New Testament.
Yep.
Read the book of Acts.
Yeah.
Read what they were going through.
Yeah.
Read the Dark Ages.
Amen. Yeah.
It's just... It makes our load a little bit lighter. And I don't mean to make out like you don't have a load. I know you do. And I know it's in the time. And I know this too, that we are not as strong physically as they were. And so I'm thinking we are not as strong mentally as they were. I think there's a difference. And we're doing the best we can under the circumstances. But I think that seed in there is going to rise up above everything that Satan's got to say about it.
Yes,
and, you know, that's why God gives us, he gives us a partner that we can share with. And so sometimes, I'm not saying you never have sometimes, you know, we need somebody just to talk to. And that's why God gives you a wife, gives you a husband, whatever. So you're not telling your neighbors. You're not telling everybody else. You have somebody to talk to.
Amen.
And remember, if you think you don't, you have Him to talk to.
Amen.
That's the thing.
Amen.
You have Him to talk to. If you go on, what we share, it should be good. It should be really good. Watch this. In the unveiling of God, paragraph 72. He came as the Son of Man, the prophet, and He done exactly. What did He do?
Exactly.
Now, if He came and He did exactly what God wanted done, is that fair assumption of what He's telling us? That what Christ did as the Son of Man, in this He changed His mask and now He's there as a prophet, and He's done exactly what God wanted done. And I want to elaborate a little bit on this because I'm taking the simplicity of our lives and saying, this is what God wants.
Amen.
Brother Branham, it might be in the same message, Unveiling of God, I can't remember. But one place Brother Branham said, he said, He wanted you to sit there today,
yes,
and He wanted me to stand in the pulpit.
Yeah.
Tomorrow He might want you in the pulpit and He want me to sit there.
Amen.
Whatever it is, we're fulfilling His purpose.
Yeah.
That's what He wants. He wants us to fulfill His purpose and not be dissatisfied with that. Not be, you know, that's what's wrong with the world. That's what's wrong with the United States. That's what's wrong with marriages. That's why women are not satisfied being at home anymore. They run. They're not satisfied with their husband anymore. They go get another one. Or think they can have them all at the same time, whatever. They get messed up.
Amen.
It's a spirit in this last days that Satan is putting upon the nations.
Amen.
The prophet saying he did exactly. He was doing the will of God. The scripture was being fulfilled. The scripture is being fulfilled in your life.
Yes, sir.
It is. It's being fulfilled. The plan of God. See, it's his eternal thinking that's being manifested in your life. But to the carnal mind, no. To the carnal mind is what I said a while ago. They thought that the whole thing in the garden was a failure. That God's whole thing just got all messed up. But did Adam do what God wanted him to do?
Yes, sir.
Did Adam do what God wanted him to do?
Yes,
did Christ do what God wanted him to do?
Yes, sir.
Did Moses do? Moses made a mistake and God didn't take him over. And you say, well, messed up the whole thing, marred the whole thing. Everything's a failure. No, He wanted Joshua.
Yep.
He wanted Joshua.
That's right.
And so He wanted also, in that mistake, He wanted to teach us.
Yep.
And so he let that mistake teach us for thousands of years to come.
Right.
Old Testament, New Testament believers, they got to learn from that. God let him fall. God let him make a mistake.
Yep.
So that we could learn from it.
Yep.
God can let me make a mistake so that we can learn from it. I'm going to learn from it. You can learn from it. If you're willing to learn from it. Let me ask you a question. I know it keeps coming back up about Adam and Eve. What if Adam would have, as soon as the fall happened, as soon as he recognized, God come and said, you know, Adam, where are you? What if Adam would have picked up a stone right then and killed Eve and killed the serpent? Would that have been the perfect will of God? You don't think so? Wonder why? Because God had something in his mind that he wanted to achieve. And that fall served God's purpose. And I want another, since I brought it up, I want to ask you another thing. What would it have took for Adam to have done that? What would it have took? He would have had to have another nature before the fall. He would have had to have another nature to be able to just pick up a stone and kill his wife because she made a mistake. Because she was deceived. Think about that. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. So it looks like Christ was the failure into the carnal mind. It looks like Adam was a failure. That the whole system got messed up. But what was actually happening? What was actually happening? Christ, with the nature of God, gave his life for his wife that he loved.
Amen.
That's what Christ did.
Yeah.
And what he did was serve the purpose of God.
Yeah.
What Adam did, now Christ lost his natural life. Not his eternal life.
Amen.
He lost his natural life.
Right.
Adam did the exact same thing.
Yep.
He gave his life to save his wife.
Amen.
And he didn't lose his eternal life.
Amen.
He lost his natural life.
Yep.
Brother Branham said he lost eternal life in the flesh.
Yep.
So, eternal doesn't have any beginning, so he just didn't have the flesh. The flesh died.
That's right.
The flesh died, so that eternal life didn't die.
Amen.
It can't die.
That's right.
It doesn't have a beginning. It doesn't have an ending.
Amen.
He came as the Son of Man, the prophet, and he done exactly. See? Even the little woman in all of her sin, there at the well, she recognized him. She said, we know Messiah is coming, which is called the Christ, and that's what he'll do. See? She recognized because she was a predestinated seed. See? That's the reason she recognized. And what this does to the carnal mind, what this does to the intellectual mind, what this does to theology is messes it all up.
Yes, sir.
Because somewhere in that in our natural mind, we have that idea that we can be too bad of a person for God. We can make too many mistakes. We can be the worst. So God, not only in the New Testament, when Christ came to pay the price and to show that mercy and to show that grace, but in the Old Testament too.
Amen.
He got him a prostitute back there that had been sleeping with men after men after men after men. And then marries her into the Israeli army.
Right.
Now tell me, you know that the people, many, many Israelites, believers, fierce, staunch believers, condemn that. You know they condemned it.
Right.
and God, and they were condemning it in Jesus' day. And when the prostitute came in that washed his feet, done all these things, you know, if he was a prophet, he would know. He would know. He did know. And he knew it before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And he let it happen like that for us.
Yes,
for us.
That's right.
So when you look at my faults, then you can have that same grace.
Amen.
that he had.
Yes.
On that woman. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament.
That's right.
You can have that same grace for all of my faults, all of my failures, all my imperfections.
Amen.
Where the rest of them didn't recognize it, see? They had nothing to recognize with. See? They were in sin to begin with. Praise God.
Amen.
What is sin? Unbelief. They were in unbelief to begin with. You were in belief to begin with. You were in Him to begin with. That's where you were. You were in His mind. You were in His thinking. There was nothing could separate you. There was nothing could get you out of it. Then I put a scripture in here because it goes along with this. 1 John 3:1. I love this scripture. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Now, this is almost like a paradox. I don't know what other to call it. But first of all, to be called the sons of God is the greatest, sons and daughters of God, see, is the greatest honor could be bestowed upon anybody. I can remember one time, somehow, just some things people say just stick to you. And I can remember one time John White, there was this woman got upset with him about something. I don't know what her problem was. But she just started cursing him and talking bad about him and running him down. And John's reply was, she called me everything but a son of God. I just thought that sounded pretty good. And another one just like that that's always sticks with me is when Jesus said, if I say that I'm not He, then I'd be a liar like you. You know, some of them are just they just stick, and they just stick. But John White, he really got me. And I thought, this is the greatest honor. This is the greatest honor, is to be called a son of God. And this should be the celebrity of the world. That's what children of God should be. And they're looked down upon. You know, and then you get these movie stars out here that are the most ridiculous, and some of them are the filthiest, and some of them are the most privileged and the most arrogant, and they can be the worst of the worst of the worst. And they're lifted up here and can do anything.
Yep.
And have no consequences whatsoever. And they can even condemn the politicians or this person or that person or that person. And them in their sin and their filth.
Yep.
People will follow that, even to who they're going to vote for or where they're going to go to church or where they're going to do this, where they're going to do that. And that's because it's Satan's world. It's Satan's world. But blessed are you.
Amen.
Who have been privileged to be called sons and daughters of God.
Yes.
Blessed are you. Therefore the world knoweth us not. Because you're a son of God. Because you're a child of God. The world don't know you.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Not you're going to be. I can remember this as a young Christian reading this, and it made an impression on me. Not you're going to be. And actually that was kind of the way our mindset was through Pentecost. That you went from being a pig to a lamb. You went from being not a child of God to being a child of God. When the reality is that man on the inside is the real you.
Amen.
And the real you never was a pig or a dog. it always was a son and daughter of God. It always was. See? But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. See? And whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. See? What was he manifested? He was the thought. He was the attribute manifested to take away our sins. He was the expression that was going to open the door to bring back that eternal life in flesh that Adam lost. He lost that eternal life in the flesh, and now here we are recognizing that we are sons and daughters of God in flesh, born by sex, that's going to die, that is cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's going to die, and here eternal life is living in it. You recognize it. You know it. There's no doubt in your mind. Verse 6, whosoever abideth him sinneth not. Now we're getting back to the attribute. Now we're getting back to that thought where you were. Because he's saying, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, cannot disbelieve. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Huh? That's right. Getting back to that, you are the manifestation. You are the manifestation of what was in his mind. And there was no unbelief back there. There was no sin back there. There was no anything back there. And that's what has come forth to manifest in builds of flesh. 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. See, still talking about the expression. That he might destroy the works of the devil. That's right. 3:9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Amen. Why? His seed. Yep. His seed remaineth in you. That thought of God, you came from it. Amen. See, whosoever born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. That's right. And I'll say again, there's never a question about that eternal life. Amen. There's no question about it. It don't start and stop. It's eternal. It has no beginning place. It has no ending place. And when you come to the realization, when you recognize who you are, that's why Brother Branham said, I forget what he said holds it back, but he said, if you came into this and you could just get it all at one time, he said, you'd just walk out. You'd just walk out of this body. You'd just be raptured. It couldn't hold you because it's so powerful. You think what it was to you when you first recognized it. You think how jubilant, how powerful, how thankful, and how glorious it was when you first come to this revelation. And then you a lot of thoughts were going through your mind. A lot of things you were going to do this and you were going to do that. And Satan has done nothing but try to cool you down. No, cool Satan down. Amen. Cool him down and get on fire for God. What did you realize? What did you realize? You never was lost. You didn't get saved on any day. Yeah. That you never sinned in the first place because that seed. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. See? Both seeds manifested. Both seeds proven what they are. There's Cain and Abel. Judas and Jesus. Each one bringing to manifestation the promise. In verse 11, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Amen. That's right. And that is what I was thinking of a while ago with Christ and Adam. That was the message. Which message is he talking about? Which message is he talking about, Christ, or is he talking about at Adam? Because the same thing was taking place. The same thing. Both of them were walking for to manifest God's thought in their day. And both of them were saving their wife, God's expression happening in their day. That's exactly what was happening. It was a message of love. And the purpose was to manifest God's attribute. And that's what they both did. And all in between, it was the same thing happening over and over and over again. Unveiling of God, paragraph 73. For his acts, he changes his form. Then he came the form of the Son of Man. See? And for the Reformers' age, Wesley, Luther, all down through, then we find out that they got it so bundled up, just like the Israelites, see, did, until when he does appear in the last days, in the Pentecostal age, as the Holy Spirit, they rejected it. They did the same thing Israel did. And what does he do now? He returns as the Son of Man. See? In the Pentecostal age, he came as the Holy Spirit. Now, then, he returns as the Son of Man. See, and then from that to the Son of David. See how close we are? Son of Man, Son of David, Son of God. He's revealed in the last days as Son of Man, according to Malachi 4. All the rest, the prophecies pertaining to this hour. That's right. That's all. What God had in his mind is being manifested. No more dealing with the church, see, after they put him out. So on the outside, knocking at the door, some predestinated seed in there yet, see, he must get to them. That's right. No more dealing with the church. They put him out. What did he do? He changed his form. He changed his form. He's not there. He's not in that no more. They didn't want it. They put him out of it. See? We just think on. They have a choice to accept it or to reject it. They have a choice to believe it or not to believe it. And if there's no seed in there, you can't. And I've talked to people before, and I've heard people say, before, I believe it. I just can't live it. Think about that. I think that was mentioned maybe at this funeral just recently. But I've heard that statement more than one time. That people say, I believe this was a prophet. I believe the message is true. I believe this. I believe this. But I just can't live the life. I can't be true to it. If that seed's in there, the life will be there. The life will come forth, and the life will bring this flesh in subjection. And if you're struggling in that area, then you just need to ask God to either bring that seed to life or let it mature. Let it mature. Bring it forth. And it will fulfill what he had in his mind. 74, God in man had emptied himself. Joel 2:28. He said, I'll pour out in the last days my spirit. If you notice the word there, the Greek word, I may have this wrong, but you know, you have to watch words. English sometimes means double meanings, like just the word we say God. God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1. But now, in the Bible, in the beginning, Elohim, see? Now, he's translating the word now. Now, Elohim, the English calls God, see? But it really wasn't Elohim, because anything could be God. to the word God, you can make an idol a god. You can make that piano a god. See? You can make anything a god. And people do. And they make trees god. They make rocks god. They make, Brother Benjamin knows, he comes from a country that they have many, many gods. And the people can make a god out of anything. And so he's saying here that this piano could be a god to a person. People can make gods out of their cars. Whatever you idolize, whatever you make so special in your life. Brother Bram said, you make it a god. You make it an idol. That's what it is. But he said, not so with the word Elohim. He said, the word Elohim doesn't mean God, G-O-D, little g, something that man or even preacher or something else. He said, but Elohim means the self-existing one. Amen. That's what the word means, the self-existing one. Now you're back to no beginning, no ending now.
That's right.
So, paragraph 76, but it isn't so in the word Elohim. It means the self-existing one, see? That piano cannot be self-existing. Nothing else can be self-existent. So the word Elohim means that he that always existed. Is that right? God can mean anything. You see the difference in the word. Congregation says amen. Oh, there's a difference. Double meaning. One is something can be, you can call this a god, but Elohim is different. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Elohim. Now, when it said here that he emptied himself, paragraph 77, or poured out. Now, we would think like this, that he vomited up. The English word there of emptied or poured out from him. Something went out of him that was different from him. But the word kenos in the Greek does not mean that he vomited up. See, his arm went off, his eye went out, another person. That is, he changed himself. He poured himself into, see, into another mask, into another form. Not another person went out of him. That's where they get it messed up at. And herein lies the revelation. It's not something different, another person that went out of him. It's another mask went out of him that's going to reveal the same person. That's going to manifest the same person. So, see, not another person went out of him called the Holy Spirit, but it was he himself. See, you get it. He himself poured himself into the people. Christ in you. How beautiful, how wonderful to think. God pouring himself into the human being, into the believer. Pour out. It was a part of his drama. To do so. Praise God. Now, I like it when he talks like that.
Amen.
I like him referring to it like that because that's what this is. This is not an everyday that he don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
No. This is the reason it's a drama. Because he knows, he wrote it, he planned it, he did it before the foundation of the world. Now, the actors don't know everything, but they know a lot because they know what he's told them, where they're going. They know where they came from,
Amen.
And they know what they're here for.
Yes.
We don't know every day, every nook and turn and all of those things. We don't. Adam didn't either.
Amen.
I was thinking about that earlier. I said, I don't know how much Adam knew, but he knew a lot. But he didn't know nothing about sin and death. He didn't know that he was naked. And God asked him, and he said, who told you? Who told you that you were naked? So there was something, there was a veil. There was a veil there. And that's why Brother Branham said that we came like Adam. That not like Christ. He was the Word. Before he became flesh. We came straight from the thought to flesh.
Amen.
Adam came the same way. God, all the fullness, all the Godhead bodily was in this person, Jesus Christ. He was God and God alone. Not a third person or a second person or a first person, but the person. God veiled in human flesh. See, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God, Elohim, capital G-O-D, in the Bible, referred back, anybody, it refers to in the original. It said Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim. See? And Elohim, without controversy. Great is the mystery of Elohim. See? For Elohim was made flesh, and we handled him. Elohim veiled in human flesh. The great Jehovah that covered all space and all time everywhere was made man, and we handled him. Elohim, see? In the beginning, Elohim. And Elohim was made flesh and dwelt among us. That was him, God himself. Not another, not a second, not a third. It was God himself, the creator of heavens and earth. What? This is his way. The parts of the drama, see? That's the way he's to act it out. His way of revealing himself to us as some different person. We are mortal, and he knows that. You hear? Listen to this now. We're mortal. We have a carnal mind, a natural mind. He knows it. And we only understand as mortals. We only know as mortals. We only know as our senses will let us know. And the rest of it, we have to believe by faith. We have to say there's a God, whether we see him or not. See? We believe it anyhow. See? Whether there is or not, we still believe it because God said so. There's lots of things that we accept it by faith because he said it. Amen. But there's a lot of things that you if you take this wrong, you'll have it wrong. Because we walk by revelation. And revelation is what he reveals to you. And what he reveals to you, it's something that you know. Whether you've seen it or not, you know it because he's made it real. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the evidence of things that you haven't seen. Yet you know it. Brother Branham said, it's been revealed to you. And you know it. You know that it's real. You know that it's true. That's why we can recognize his presence. We can recognize his presence. We can recognize his people. We can recognize his spirit. I don't like to use the word feel, but you can feel it. Amen. You can see it. You can see the evidence of it. You can see, you can't see a spirit with your natural eyes, but with Christ in you, you can discern that spirit. Right. You discern it. You know it. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be some deep, know all the message. You can be a lowly housewife. You can be a simple person. You can be the janitor. You can be whatever. Amen. And you can still have discernment. You can still have spiritual understanding. You can still know these things that he's talking about. You can recognize him. See, he keeps talking about the drama. He keeps talking about it. We have to say there is a God. Okay, 81. Like Abraham could not see that son. No signs, no pregnancy of Sarah, no even any menstruation periods or anything, see? But yet God said so. That's right. And her womb was dead, and his life in him was gone, and the stream of his life had dried up. And her life had dried up. And I tell you, you would do yourself good to go back and refresh yourself on these stories. Because I don't remember exactly what chapters, but I know from about 14 through 18, Genesis 14 through 18, somewhere in there, is a lot of Abraham's life. And he's when he meets the kings. He delivers his nephew from those kings. And then when he has a visitation with Melchizedek, And then he has a visitation with Elohim. And so each one of those steps that was taking place, each manifestation. And if you think sometimes you feel like you're going through something or you don't know what to do, look at Abraham's life. And he would go, God would tell him something, and then it might be 10 years. It might be 10 years or more before we have a record of him saying something again. And I was reading over some of this because he's coming to Melchizedek here. And so, which I thought we would get to on Wednesday, and so I would start that this morning, and we're not there. But I'm using the same quotes that I had Wednesday. But I read that again this morning when God came to him. And he had already went through Hagar and having that son, and how that as soon as Hagar got pregnant, immediately she was despised, and Sarah run her off. And so she was out in the wilderness in the desert, and God went to her. And God told her, said, there's in your womb will come forth many nations as the sand of the sea. That's the same promise he gave to Abraham. That's the same thing he said about Ishmael. The same thing. And he said, I think, was it 12 princesses would come, something like that? 12 princesses would come from this man. And God told her, said, go back and submit yourself to Sarah. Submit yourself. And so she went back. And so he was 13 years old when God came back again. And God revealed to Abraham that he was to circumcise all the people. And I think Abraham was like 86 years old, and Ishmael was like 13 years old. And when God told him, said, you're going to have a son by Sarah. And he fell down and he laughed. We always talk about Sarah. He fell down and he laughed. And he told God, he said, all that Ishmael would be pleasing in your sight. Oh, I can't remember exactly, I'm paraphrasing. Oh, that Ishmael would be the one. Yep. And he said, no. He said, Sarah is going to have a son. Think about that kind of faith. Think about that kind of revelation. Amen. Think about the little things that bother us and are hard sometimes to accept and to believe. And think, everything in his natural life was against what he was hearing.
That's right.
Everything. And we have to overcome this mind and these feelings, these emotions, these flesh, all of this, this sight, all of it.
Right.
We must overcome it.
Yes,
by the word, by the revelation of who you are.
Amen.
And what God has done in this day. We must overcome it.
That's right.
We must stand and say it when we don't feel like saying it.
Amen.
We must stand and declare it when our physical being doesn't feel like it. Like Abraham could not see that son, no sign, see dropping down, and yet he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He was strong, giving praise, knowing God was able to perform anything that he said he would do. There's the way we got to believe the word today. How is it going to be? I don't know. God said it's going to be that way, and that settles it, see? So who is this great unseen person, see? Who is this that Abraham's seen in visions? Right at last, though, he was manifested in flesh. Notice how God just saves the best to last, where he gives the greatest revelation at last. He does the greatest things at the last. He's bringing you along. And it's hard sometimes. And you're waiting, you're crying, you're wanting, Lord, let me see this. And it just gets greater and greater and greater. And there's sometimes the opposition, the thing that God is promising is so impossible that we have a hard time. But yet God proves it every time. He proves it. He was manifested in flesh before the Son came. God himself came to Abraham in the form of a man at the end time, manifested. He saw him in a little light one time. He saw him in visions. He heard his voice, many revelations. But just before the promised son, he saw him in the form of a man. And he talked to him. And he fed him meat and drink, see? And notice now, God himself veiled in human flesh. This is a part of his way. This is the way that he manifests himself to us. Manifests the eternal word. He hasn't lost his attributes and thoughts. He's still there. Still there. As he's coming to the manifestation, as he's coming to the unveiling, he's still got that in his mind. See? This is the eternal word, God, Jehovah, made flesh. Like in St. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. In the beginning was Elohim. See? Elohim became the Word, and the Word was Elohim, and the Word was made Elohim. See? See, it's the same thing. Just unfolding. That's all. Like the attribute, see? It is in God. An attribute is your thought. God in the beginning, the eternal, he wasn't even God, but he was eternal, right? He wasn't God yet, but he was eternal. See? He wasn't even God. God is an object of worship or something, see? So he wasn't even that. He was Elohim, the eternal. But in him was thoughts. He wanted to become material. And what did he do? He spoke a word, and the word was materialized. And that's the whole picture. Listen now. That's the whole picture from Genesis to Revelations.
That's right.
There's nothing wrong. It's Elohim materializing. So he can be touched. So he can be felt. And in the millennium. And now, let me just stop a minute now. I know Brother Holmes, he probably spent about 50 messages on this or something. I don't know how many, but a lot. There's nothing wrong. Now, he told us that a while ago. He told us that. There's nothing wrong. Everything is perfect. Everything is right along what God had in his mind. Now, even all of the failures, all of the faults, all the troubles, all of the bad in all of the nations, God's plan is being fulfilled. The only way he could be a judge is he's got to have something to judge. The only way he can condemn all that is got to be something there to condemn. The only way he could be a savior, there had to be something lost. It's working to his glory and his honor.
Amen.
I know he's got a perfect will. I know he's got a permissive will. And nobody, we don't want to be in his permissive will. But where are we in this life? Where are we in this world? Huh?
Amen.
Those things can be argued and argued and argued and argued.
Yep.
But one thing is can't be argued. God don't make no mistakes.
Amen.
And God is fulfilling his word every day, every day, every day. And the place he's doing it today is in you, in the bride of Jesus Christ. That's where God is operating. That's where God is moving.
Amen.
And every challenge and every trial and every test, everything else, it all has to be there.
Amen.
Because it's building that character. God has a law. God has a law. And so if Jesus learned from the things that he went through, he said the same thing about you. He said, character is not a gift. He said, character is a victory. It's something that you receive by trials and troubles and all these things. It's something that's being built, instilled into you through the things that you go through. So the word clearly says, don't think it's strange. No, don't think it's strange when these things happen. Paragraph 84. See, but in him, he was Elohim, the eternal. But in him was thoughts. He wanted to become material. And what did he do? He spoke a word, and the word was materialized. And that's the whole picture from Genesis to Revelations. Nothing wrong. It's Elohim, the Father, the Spirit, materializing so he can be touched, so he can be felt. And in the millennium, there is Elohim sitting on the throne, see? That's right. With all his subjects around him that he predestinated before the foundation of the world. That's right. Like a man building chimes or making chimes, the molder. See, each bell has got to ring different from the other. See, the same materials, but so much iron, so much steel, so much brass. See, to make it give the ting. And that's the way God did. He bred this one to that one, to this one, to that one, to this one, to that one, till he got exactly what he wanted. See? And that's how he come down. And you just think, you know, that was easy. That wouldn't be so mind-boggling in the first 100 years. You know, you could say, well, he bred this one to that one, to this one, to that one, and he got this what he got. But now, we've been thousands and thousands of years that God has been breeding this one to that one and this one to that one to get you.
Yep.
To get you.
Amen.
Exactly what he wanted. You might have got a little bit of German in you. You might have got a little bit of Irish in you. You might have got a little bit of something else in you. It was to get just what he wanted.
Amen.
He was building you exactly the way he wanted you.
Right.
And he knew every trial you would fight, every battle you would fight, everything in this flesh. Even the very personality, even the very thing that you come through that he breeded to bring forth this flesh, and all the faults and all the failures that I would have, he knew that.
Amen.
And his word, his spirit, was going to overcome it in me and in you and in you and in you and in every single one.
That's right. That's right.
It was going to overcome. It was going to prove that there was no nature, there was no culture, there was no nationality, there was nobody that was going to not be subdued when the new birth took place. There's not anybody. If there's a seed in there, there's nobody who can resist that.
That's right.
And they tried. The flesh has tried. That's right. The personality tried. The mind tried. That old culture tried. But it couldn't overcome.
Amen.
Because that seed was in there. God unveiled himself in a pillar of fire down through the prophets. See? Then into the Son of God, which he was God. See, it's the same God bringing out exactly from perfection to perfection, from glory to glory. That's the way the church goes, see. And through the ages, the same way by his prophets, see. He has revealed himself. Them wasn't exactly prophets. They was gods. I quoted this on Wednesday night. See, they wasn't exactly prophets. They was gods. He said so, see. For what they spoke was God's words. They were the flesh that God was veiled in. They were gods.
Amen.
Then what are you? What are you?
That's right.
If the word is in you, if Christ is in you, if Elohim is in you, if the eternal life is in you, then what are you?
Amen.
You're the same thing. You're God in flesh. There's only one eternal life.
That's right.
And if it's in you, it's him. And that is God in flesh today.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
That's right.
It's a great drama. It's a great drama. And he wanted to express himself. And he wanted to express himself in an old man like Moses, 80 years old, with a stick. He wanted to express himself.
That's right.
And he delivered the greatest nation to his feet. He did. To an 80-year-old man. He destroyed the greatest nation in the world.
Amen.
That's right. And that nation, they didn't have to go back to Egypt and take all the goods and all the riches and everything. No, they didn't have to do it. Those people gave it to them before they left. You think about that? They gave it to them. They were carrying all that gold and all that silver and all that jewelry and all of that wealth. They were carrying it with them. And they got out there and they didn't have no food. And which is amazing to me because they had all those animals, had half of that. They had so much. But there was something they didn't have. And so he gave it to them. And he fed them. And he fed them every day. And it was a supernatural journey. It was a supernatural thing. And he was doing it through an 80-year-old man to lead him. And every single one man, woman, and child of every age, from the age of accountability to 100 and whatever is the oldest a person could live, he wanted to express himself in that. He wanted to express himself in young men like Cameron. He wanted to express himself in young men like Gabriel. He wanted to express himself in young children. He wanted to express himself in older people like us. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to express himself in younger adults and middle-aged adults, both men and women. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to express himself in every aspect of life, in every type of life, in every situation. He wanted to express that. And he's done it, and he's doing it, and he's proving it. Every day he's proving it. 88. So it was God in a man called a prophet, and the word of the Lord came to this man. So he wasn't the prophet. The prophet was the veil, but the word was God. Think about that. The word. The eternal word. Huh? The thought expressed. That was God in that man. The man's word won't act like that. See? You see what I mean? It cannot act in that manner. But potentially, it was God. See, it was the word of God in the form of a man called a man. Notice, he never changed his nature. Is that right? That's why it gave me that thought a while ago. Adam had the same nature. Adam had the same love for his wife that Christ had. He expressed the exact same thing. He did the same thing. He gave his life for her. And for him to have killed her would have took a different nature. It would have took a different nature than the one he had. You could say, oh, well, the law said this is what he should have done. This is what he should have said. This is what he should have done, should have done, should have done. But what did he do? Amen. What did he do? He did what God's thought saw him doing.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
That's what he did. He manifested God's thought. That's what he did. He couldn't have done anything else. He'd never changed his nature, only his form. Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he did not change his nature when he come. He didn't change his nature when he come. So what he was back there is what he was when he came. So this isn't a new nature when he came. It's the nature that he had back there is what he expressed when he came. That's what he's saying. See, he is always that prophet all down through the age. Same thing, the word, the word, the word, the word. See, he cannot change his nature, but he changes form. Hebrews 13:8. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He just changed his mask. That's right. So, and I know my time's getting short here. Okay, we're gonna get to a turning point here. Just one. Like I changed from husband when my child is born, then I'm a father. When my grandchild is born, see, I'm grandfather, see. But I don't change. It's still me, see. And that's God. It's just, I changed, see? It's just change your form, see? Now notice now, the nature changes it down from a young man to a middle-aged to an old man, and there you are, you see? You just change your form. Now, we talked about this on Wednesday, but we're just going to finish up with this. Now, you couldn't say a little fellow standing up there, 16 years old, you couldn't say he's a grandfather. See? He couldn't be. His form has to be changed. See? He's first got to manifest fatherhood. Before he can manifest grandfatherhood, he's got to manifest fatherhood. He's got to become a father. And he's got to express a son. And then that son is going to make him, when that son expresses fatherhood, that's going to make him a grandfather. He's going to change his form when that expression takes place. And that's what God was doing all the time. It was just Elohim materializing, 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 more and more and more, all down through the ages. That's right. See, it's the same person all the time. Yeah, 91. But it's the same person all the time, the same person, God all the time. In this way, he reveals himself to his people. In doing this, see, notice, through the age of the pillar of fire, he revealed himself to his people. In the age of Jesus, he revealed himself to his people. In the age of the Holy Spirit, as Son of God, see, he always reveals himself in that manner to his people, making the people to know him. See, he is veiled behind something. See, in the same way, the same nature every time. That's right. Praise be to God. That's why I want to make sure I didn't misrepresent something that I said a while ago. Whatever he does in every age, it doesn't matter how much of the spirit they had, how much of the word they had. And Brother Branham said that in Luther's day, this message, this revelation, could not have happened in Luther's day. It couldn't. It wasn't in God's thinking. You can say, oh, well, it wasn't time. It didn't happen. All of those things are true. But the bottom line is, in God's mind, this was going to be revealed today. This part of the drama, this part of the manifestation, this word, this thought was going to happen now. And that thought happened then. And that's been in every age. That's been in every time. That's been in every person. The same thing, just continually, continually, Elohim materializing. He had in his mind what he was going to do in every moment of every day since the beginning of the creation.
That's right.
And it's happened perfectly every moment of every day. Perfect.
Amen.
And whatever Satan accomplished, whatever Satan thought that he accomplished, whatever Satan thought he defeated, then he knows. He knows. Brother Branham said, if he would have known, said Satan thought that Christ was the one, but he didn't know. Said he thought he was, but he didn't know. Said if he had known, he would have never let him go to Calvary, because he knew what he was coming for. He knew what he was coming for.
Amen.
And that's why, but see, they didn't know the whole plan. That's why them devils cried out. And when they, was they in the swine? And they said, have you come to torment us before our time? They know where they're going. They know they're serving God's purpose. They know that they have something to do. And it seemed like the devil's children know better than a lot of times God's children. You know, we're not, sometimes we're not conscious. We get caught up in other things. And it's like the drunk I picked up one time in Lincolnton. And he was wallowing in the ditch and he couldn't stand up. And I went and picked him up and got him in the truck. And he was trying to tell me where to go to take where he lived at. And he couldn't hardly tell me where he lived. And all of a sudden, he started preaching to me. He started telling me the Antichrist, who the Antichrist was. He had it wrong, but he was preaching it. And I think he was calling it Russia. I don't even remember now, but he preached. He preached all the way home. We got him to his house, and by the time we got to the house, he was able to walk in the door. And he just said, "Man, I want to talk to you another day." He said, "You come and you talk to me." He said, He said, "I got some things to tell you." And so I said, "I'd like to tell you some things too." But don't ever let Satan tell you that there's any moment of any day that God is not using you.
Amen.
Your whole life,
yes.
Your whole life, everything about your life is in service to God.
Right.
In every way, in everything, you are in service to God. Because God don't go on vacation. God don't come and indwell in you on Sunday, and then on Monday you're on your own. Nope, it's not like that. He's there every day.
Amen.
When you feel good, every day. And I just, actually, I have a thing here. I'm going to close with this. that I'm going to, that a note that I made. And I was listening, I listened yesterday. I don't know if it was in the morning or afternoon. I think it was maybe in the afternoon, guy. Picked up my iPad for a little while. And I was looking, and I got this clip of Billy Graham. And Billy Graham was talking about how that he's had moments in his life when he felt so close to God. And he felt such a connection and such an openness and such a oneness. And every way, he just felt so close to God. And he said that he just felt like everything was just right. And that he could talk to God. He felt the presence of God, all of these things. And all of us have had those moments. We've had those moments. And he said, but there's been times in my life, he said, when I didn't feel like God heard me, when I didn't feel like God is answering me, when I didn't feel like there was just nothing, like there was a wall. Brother Branham talked one time about there being a wall there. And Billy Graham was saying that. And he's saying, he said it was in those times, said it, that his mom had told him, and he said it always brought it back to his memory, that when he was a young boy, about 13 years old, he said it's in, she said it's in those times when you don't feel like it, when you don't, you feel all alone. You don't have that attachment. You don't have that, maybe an emotional attachment. You don't have any, you just can't feel anything. Yeah. And you feel like you don't know if he loves you. You don't know where he's at. You don't know what's going on. He said, that's the time when he's the closest. That's the time. Because you have surrendered your life. And he has made the promise. He's made the promise. He's proved to you that you're a son and a daughter of God. And he said, sometime that's when he comes in the strongest and the most powerful. But that's not the time to let your flesh or your mind or your emotions tell you that God is not with you. That's the time when you know, when you are standing there on the word, you're standing there by faith, and you're not basing it on any feeling or any intellect or any of your mind or anything else.
Yes, sir.
And I thought he made such a good point, because it's something we go through, every one of us. We, everyone, go through those trials where we feel like we're so far from God. Don't let Satan take you there. Let, when it's like that, let his word, let his spirit bring you back into his presence. Just like the first quote we read, Simon Peter walked into the presence of the Lord Jesus. And that you did that one day, and you received the new birth. He hasn't left you. He's not going to leave you. That eternal life has no beginning and it has no ending. No. Sons and daughters of God, what a privileged people we are to be called the sons and the daughters of God.
That's
right. Paragraph 92, this is the last paragraph. God veiled in Jesus to do the work of redemption on the cross. God could not die as a spirit. He's eternal. But he had to put on a mask and act the part of death. Did you hear that word? People complain at our word sometime. If you say that, oh, you're just an actor, you're just a put on. God acted the part of death.
Yep.
Because God couldn't die.
Amen.
He acted the part. He had a veil of flesh that died. Because he couldn't die.
Amen.
And that's the same with you. You can't die.
Right.
You can't die. You can't. You might act the part one day, but you can't die. See, act the part of death. He did die, but he couldn't do it in his God form. You can't do it in your God form.
Amen.
Because you got eternal life.
Right.
Praise God. See, he had to do it in his Son form. As Son of Man on earth. See, he had to be Son form. Then, when he returned on Pentecost, he was the Son of God again. You see what I mean? Get the idea? Praise God. That's right. Amen.
Amen.
And then, the first sentence here, now we're getting to where Melchizedek is. And that's where I thought I was going to start this morning. And so, that's where we're going to start on Wednesday. So, anyways. So let us stand together. I'd really like to sing a song. If you don't mind. It would be nice when we get the building we have. Be able to, I don't know what the difference would be, but it's going to be better. So, it's always good. And, well, matter of fact, these sisters were talking about it on Wednesday, having some worship after we hear the word. And I think that's a good thing. And we always like to be able to have that. So, yeah, brother, bless you.
Amen. I know you enjoyed that.
Amen.
He was talking there. The thought was good enough. I love that. There's this little saying that we have: it's the thought that counts.
Yeah.
I wanted to yell that out, but I didn't want to. You know, so sometimes we kind of be nonchalant with that, but it's the thought that counts. And so it's good enough. It's good enough. We're going to try to sing "You Are Awesome in This Place." And I'm going to try to sing the verses. And I got a video clip from a church, message church. And the song leader was singing this song, and I never had heard the verses before. And so we have one, and then he sang another one. So you forgive me, you are going to have to hear me sing a little bit, because I don't know if we'll know all the verses, but we're going to start off with the chorus. Okay, well, we're going to sing it. So y'all, bear with me. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all our praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. One more time. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. First one. As we come into your presence, past the gates of praise, into your sanctuary, till we're standing face to face. I look upon your countenance, I see the fullness of your grace. I can only bow down and say, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Verse 2. As we're seated at your table, Lord, we're feasting on your word. Our lives are being challenged, and our hearts are being stirred. As your Spirit has his way with us, we rejoice in what we've heard. Now we lift up our hands and say, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise.
Touching Jesus says all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. There is only one way to touch Him. Just believe when you call on His name. Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. Just believe when you call on His name.
Amen. Like the brother said this morning, it's a drama that he's acting out.
Amen.
And that's something that I know in my life needs to be more real every day. Like he said, it doesn't matter what you're facing. There's going to be good times. You're going to be on top of the mountain, and you're just going to just be awesome. And that's Him rejoicing in you. And then there's going to be times when He's in the valley with you.
Amen.
And the clouds are so dark. And Goliath is everywhere that you turn around, and you just don't know how you're going to do it. The fact of the matter is, you're not going to do it. It's Him. He is acting this drama out in you.
Amen.
He's doing it. And so, He's an awesome God. Amen. Brother Goodman, will you come around and dismiss us in a word of prayer? Come pray. Sorry, y'all had to hear me sing, but we're going to learn that song. I love it, of course, the verses.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That was a great song. But, and I think we already said that because it's always great. And we thank the Lord for that. We thank the Lord for the way He comes every day. We come together, and He's always had something for us to eat. And that was good. But don't you say something about some people say that they believe it, but they're not able to live it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. that's an interesting something. The problem sometimes is people think they believe it when they don't
believe
it.
That's the problem.
If you believed it, you
that's
just
right.
leave it there.
Yes. Yes.
There's nothing for you to do. You just believe it. If you believe it, just leave it there. Then He's going to leave it for you. It's Him. He's going to do it. This, for us who think that they do it, they don't do it. Nobody does it. Nobody can do this. Nobody can deliver it to you. Nobody can do nothing. You just look at it and you say, God, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. And that's all. I think about, I'm not preaching, but I think about Adam was not deceived. You know, he was not deceived. That's the only thing. He was not deceived.
Amen.
In other words, he didn't believe it. He didn't believe what the devil was saying. That's all. The difference between Adam and Eve is Eve believed it.
Yeah.
When you believe, that's all. It's revealed to you. You know it. You just leave it there.
Amen.
And you know the truth. Nobody can deceive you. That does not mean that you cannot fall there, wake up, do a mistake there with this body. Mm-hmm. Do that. That does not mean that. But God will always be there to take you
right.
out of it. And you know, if you ask me, what is that? That's wrong. I did wrong there.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who it is. It's wrong. You called Adam could not have called what the devil was saying right. He could not have called it. Even when he took her, he still called it wrong. He knew it was wrong. He was never deceived. He never went to that.
Amen.
And that's something that sometimes we really forget. And, you know, there were some quotes that were put on the groups. And while some of the quotes that Brother Chris put there are very good, he's saying there that it's God who is doing it. And some other people, it's God who is doing it. It's God who is doing this drama, Brother Michael. It's God doing it. And he's going to pray it, and he knows it. He not only knows it, and this is something else. Not only knows it from the beginning. Not only that, but he's in it. He's fully in it, controlling it. He's the one who says this is going to be there, this is going to be there, it's going to come here, this is going to come here. This problem will come here at this time for this purpose, to this person. This person is strong enough. This one is weak. God did not just plan it and leave it. I know it and leave it. No! He's there pushing everything. He's there. Everything is him doing it.
Amen. That's right.
And that is, brother, if he was not doing that, I would be worried. Amen. I would really be worried because who can do it? Then we can go and fall something somewhere. No, but he has it. You can never fall. You cannot even have something that you take. Because he said that, Matthew 24:24. He'll be so deceptive that he'll make the very elect to be deceived. It's there. How can you make yourself not deceived? But it's holding you. That will come like you got Rebecca. Like you're gonna fall. You're not gonna fall. Don't worry. Don't be scared. You cannot. Simply, you cannot. It doesn't matter however you put. You can go to the Pope. And be holding Pope's what, whatever, because you can be a bullet there or anything. But you never fall. You cannot. Not because of a covenant. Not because of what you call free moral agency. Not that, brother. Because of him holding it, you cannot.
Amen.
And all these things that you hear, they are his tools: free moral agency, covenant, whatever. Permissive will. All this is there for him to use. It's not. And let him use them the way he can use them.
Right.
He can throw it to you. He can throw it to me. Well, let him use it and stay there, and see the drama folding on. And let's wait.
Let's wait.
Heavenly Father, when these things unfold to us, Lord, and we see what you're doing, Lord, we are enthralled, Lord. We are so happy, Father. We are full of joy, Lord, and realizing that you have the control, you have the steering, Lord. You're driving this. Everything, Lord, even a simple thing like waking up, even a simple thing like what I'm going to eat tonight, everything, Lord, you're in it and you know it, Lord God. And we know that you are omniscient, so you know it. You know how to control it, Lord. We are so thankful for these things, Lord. Thank you for everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.